has given you, and all of the pastoral team here. You know, the Bible says we're to give honor where honor is due, and any pastor that has a hairdo that would cause, Rick James or James Brown, you know, to be, James Brown would be envious, Pastor Bob, of that hair. You don't even have to ask him how he's doing. He just looks like, I feel good, you know. But would you give all of the pastors, Dr. Michael, Maiden, Mary, all of them, great big hand. All of the leaders. God bless you as you're seated. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, as you're turning there, I want you to say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for the next few moments that there would be revelation that flows, not just information. God, I pray for a genuine impartation. God, I thank you that the heavens are open over this place. I thank you that there is an invasion of your glory that's here right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is the primary teacher. Holy Spirit, you are here. We thank you that you're here. Jesus, you're the Lord of this church. You're the Lord of this service. You are my Lord, and I thank you for what you're doing in our lives, what you're going to continue to do in this place, in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, shout amen. Listen, real quick, there's somebody in here who's had some type of pancreas failure, like your pancreas quit working, maybe you have diabetes, you have a pancreas problem. I want you to stand up on your feet right now. I'm going to pray for you. You have a pancreas situation with your pancreas. There's a lady right there, somebody right there, several more people over here. Anybody else? There's people over here. I want you to stay standing right now. I want the most on fire, passionate about Jesus, signs and wonders person that's around these that are standing to jump up and lay your hands on them. We're going to pray for them right now. The most passionate, on fire, signs and wonders believing kind of person. Would you lay hands on them right now? I'm going to pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift every one of these people to you that are standing. I speak to their pancreas. Somebody's pancreas is being healed right this very moment as I'm talking. Somebody's pancreas is getting a supernatural charge. The Holy Ghost is jump-starting your pancreas. It is going to start to work again from this moment forward. In the name of Jesus, I release healing to flow into your bodies. I curse diabetes. For some of you, your physical sickness has been a direct demonic attack. Not everybody who is standing is necessarily because they're under the radar of the enemy, but there are some of you that are standing. It is a direct demonic attack. I cancel that off of you right now. I break the powers of that in the authority of Jesus' name. I speak life and healing to you in the name of Jesus. I command your pancreas to start working now for your body to be healed in the authority of Jesus' name. Also, somebody, there's a lady here, it could be multiple people, but definitely there's a lady here. God's going to heal you right now. You have an overactive thyroid condition, and I want you right now to jump up on your feet. Maybe more than one person, but there's definitely a lady in this room. God's going to heal you if you'll jump up on your feet right now. There's a lady right there. Anybody else? Somebody right here, somebody right there, somebody right there, another one back there, another one over there, more. There may be some guys, I don't know. I don't know if guys, is that guy? I don't know anything about the anatomy. All I know is what feet look like and hands and stuff like that. The Lord has to give me these words because he knows I don't know these kind of things. And so even if there's a dude, you can jump up. This isn't just for ladies. But right now, I want the on fire believers that believe in signs and wonders to get around these people right now. We're going to lay hands on them. God is going to normalize their thyroid in the name of Jesus. God is going to normalize their system, their internal system. God is going to normalize, set everything into order, divine order. I speak divine order over your body. I command your thyroid to be healed in the name of Jesus. I command your body to be healed right now. Somebody's body is coming back into right alignment. Everything, the chemistry within your body is being normalized right now in the name of Jesus. I release healing to flow into your body. right now in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, somebody's body temperature, God is a sign to you that God is healing you. You're going to see your body temperature changing. Physically, you're going to feel the temperature of your body changing, and that's a sign that the Lord just healed you right now in the name of Jesus. And I command everybody's physical body to be healed in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, give God some praise. Out of those that just stood, how many of you felt your body temperature change? Raise your hand. You felt your body. There's somebody, right? Yeah, come on now. That's what I'm talking about. Give God another praise. Mark chapter 10, if you're there, say, I got it. Verses 46 to 52 is what we call the story of blind Bartimaeus. Verse 46 says this. It says, now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard, I just got to stop right here. There's somebody in this room. You came in here. I don't always operate like this, but the atmosphere is right. There's somebody that came into this room. You're deeply saddened. I don't know what's happened. Something tragic. You've experienced something tragic, very, very painful, and you just got this deep sadness on the inside of you. Literally, depression is on you. And I believe God loves you enough to say, wait a minute, I'm going to touch that person right now, and I'm going to change everything about everything for them. But you got to be willing to make yourself vulnerable. Who is that? I want you to stand. Who is that? I want you to stand. That deep sadness, I want you to stand right there. There's more than one. There's one. There's several people in this room. Deep sadness. I want you to close your eyes. And the Holy Spirit is coming to you right now. The Holy Spirit is coming to you right now. He's going deep on the inside of your heart. Be willing to let go of that pain right now. The Holy Spirit is touching you. He's going deep on the inside. Right now, the Holy Spirit is taking the pain. God is touching the place of your pain. God is pouring in his healing right now in the name of Jesus. Now, watch this. The Lord's going to begin to extract. The enemy has tried to take advantage of the painful experience, and he's tried to inject poison into your system. The enemy's tried to release his poisonous toxin inside your system as a result of your experience. The enemy has tried to take advantage of what's happened. But the Holy Spirit right now is extracting the enemy's poison from your system. And the Holy Spirit is releasing the healing into you right now. Right now, you're literally going to feel the sadness leave you. And don't be afraid to let the sadness go, because some of you, the enemy has tricked you and he's made you think you have to be sad because of your experience. Because your experience would equal somebody being sad. But the Lord right now is saying that's a lie from the enemy. Yes, it's a bad thing that's happened to you, but you don't have to be sad because of what's happened to you. The Lord's taking that out of you right now. Some of you are going to begin to experience right now the joy of the Lord is coming to you. The Holy Spirit is now injecting joy into your system. The Lord's releasing back into your system what needs to be into your system. You're going to feel a desire to praise come upon you in the name of Jesus. The desire to praise is coming up on you in the name of Jesus. The heaviness is lifted off of you. The yoke that has been assigned to you by the enemy has now been annihilated off of you in the authority of Jesus' name. This thing will not go home with you. It won't wait outside for you. The relief that you're getting now is not temporary. The relief that you're getting now is permanent. God said, I've kicked that thing out of your life. Now rejoice, because the victory is yours. Come on, somebody. So let's start over right here. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It says, now they came to Jericho as he went out to Jericho and his disciples in a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I want to talk to you just from a few moments from this thought right here. Blind Bartimaeus, that's what we call him, blind Bartimaeus. The story takes place between two locations, between Jericho and Jerusalem. Jericho is considered a cursed place. It's a bad place. It's a place that if you're born in it, when you grow up, you want to move from it. Jerusalem is considered a great place. It's a place of peace. It's where everybody would travel to. It's where you wanted to go. The story takes place of blind Bartimaeus leaving this bad place with the intention of going to a great place. All of us come out of a bad place with the hopes and desires of going to a great place. Ultimately, our desire and destination is eternity with God. But on a side note, you have to understand, eternity does not start when you get to heaven. Eternity starts when you give your heart to Jesus Christ. That's when eternity starts. Blind Bartimaeus had come out of this bad place with the intention of going to a great place, but somewhere in the process he got stuck and did not make it to his destination. He was stuck in a condition that wasn't God's best for him. He was sitting in this place where God never intended for him to be. He had come out with hopes and desires to reach his goals and be everything that God wanted him to be. But for whatever reason, he encountered something that stopped him in the process. We call him blind Bartimaeus. Maybe when you've talked to people, you've referred to him, as you know, the guy in the Bible by the name of blind Bartimaeus. Many study Bibles across the top of that portion of Scripture, they identified as a story of blind Bartimaeus. But blind's not his name. Blind's his condition. But yet everybody is identifying him with his condition. Regardless of where you came from or what you're going through or where you presently are, you cannot allow other people to brand you based upon who you were or even who you are. Because your condition does not have to define you, and what you've been through doesn't have to control you, and your past doesn't have to hold you back from your future. It doesn't have to dictate to your future, because God can set you free from all of that. And who you were is not who you're gonna be, and who you are is not where you're gonna be, or where you are is not where you're gonna be. I tell people sometimes that if you try to hold me to where you meet me, I'll frustrate you. If you try to keep me where you meet me, because in 6 months from now and a year from now, I'm not going to be right here. Because I'm passing through where I am, and I'm not going to allow other people's opinion of me to keep me right here. I can't change everybody's opinion about me, but I can do one thing. I don't have to allow other people's opinion about me to be my opinion of me. Everybody calls him by his condition. Some of you have got to quit responding to the opinions of other people that are trying to hold you and your past experiences. When people try to identify you with those things, with those mistakes, with those conditions, and they try to refer to you, you need to ignore them as if you don't know who they're talking to. Hey, you, I'm talking to you. No, you ain't talking to me. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I remember you. I know where you came from. I know the neighborhood you're from. I remember you in Jericho. I remember when you lived like that, acted like that, looked like that. I don't know who you're talking about. Are you getting what I'm saying? His name is Bartimaeus. That's his name, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus is two words. Bar, B-A-R, means son. Timaeus, the definition of Timaeus, means polluted one. His name is the son of a polluted one. It's one thing to deal with conditions that you created by your bad choices, but it's a whole other thing when you find yourself fighting devils that you didn't do anything to cause him to come. Sometimes we find ourselves fighting our daddy's devils and we don't understand why we're fighting some of the battles that we're fighting. Sometimes we fight battles simply because of the family that we've been born into, because of the blood that's in us. It was also in them. And the enemy has assigned this thing to try to work to destroy the plan of God in a family. I understand what it's like to live under these types of conditions. I had a great granddad. My grandfather was very successful outside of the house, but he was a functioning alcoholic, and he was extremely dysfunctional inside the house. I grew up in an environment watching his behavior. My mother was 15 years old when I was born. My mother was a heavy partier. My mom was a hippie in the 60s. I grew up in that culture. I didn't grow up in a commune, but I was probably one step from it. And my mom never actually gave me drugs, but I grew up in an environment where everybody else got me high and gave me drugs. When I was a little kid getting high and smoking weed, that was normal. By the time I was 12 years old, I was carrying a bag of dope on me all the time. And a lot of times when I share my story, the older generation kind of freak out when they hear me say things like, when I was 12 years old, I was smoking dope. And they're like, I can't believe you were smoking dope at 12 years old. But the reality is that's not that uncommon, because the average age for first-time drug use is 12 years old. My son was 2 years old when I gave my life to Jesus. My son, I was beginning to bring him up in an environment, take him in to environments that were extremely destructive. My granddad was an alcoholic. My mom was a heavy partier. I struggled with major addiction. I was beginning to raise my son in an environment that would have bent him in a direction that would have been extremely destructive. One of the Hebrew words for curse or iniquity actually means bent. It implies a spiritual force that bends somebody in a direction, that bends somebody in a direction to do what they don't want to do. I was beginning to raise my son in an environment that would have bent him in a direction. The Bible says you raise a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That goes for good or it goes for evil. But that doesn't mean anything's too hard for God. God can intervene and change the course of everything. And so my granddad was an alcoholic. My mom was a heavy partier. I struggled with major addiction. I began to raise my son. Thank God I gave my life to God. Thank God Jesus Christ came into my life and broke the powers of that thing off of my life. Because the reality is, as a child of God, as a born-again believer, a curse has no legal right to operate in your life. No legal right to operate in your life. The devil is a liar. The devil is trespassing. If he's trying to cause those cycles and old behavior patterns of your family bloodline to show up in your life, you've got to take the authority that you've been given as a believer in Jesus Christ and say, devil, you ain't trespassing up in here. A lot of people think that Jesus died on the cross just to save them and redeem them and to forgive them and to get them to heaven. But if all Jesus wanted to do was that, all he had to do was shed his blood, and he could have shed his blood a million ways, because just one drop of blood is adequate enough to save every person who would ever live on this planet. There was a specific reason that Jesus died on the cross, y'all. Jesus got up on the cross because the Bible said in the book of Leviticus, cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree. Jesus got up on the cross. The book of Galatians said he got up on the cross, took the cross up on himself so that we could be free from the curse. A curse has no legal right to show up in the life of a child of God. But the devil don't always operate according to what's legal. He's a trespasser. He'll try to slip up in there and sneak up in your territory, try to lay claim to you when he has no legal right to you. He's a squatter. You've got to recognize when the enemy's there, and you've got to expose him and reject him and drive him off. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so here blind Bartimaeus is. Man, he's struggling with his own condition. And he's struggling with this, his daddy's devils as well, to top it off. He had left. See, here's what happens. We oftentimes, it's our dysfunction, it's our pain, it's our struggles that cause us to see our need for Jesus. And we come to Jesus to get free from all that stuff. And sometimes that freedom's short-lived for some people. Because the church world's not always done a great job at helping people understand the process of transformation. Now, this church is a great church. I'm going to tell you that. But the church world has created an environment that once somebody gives their life to God, that at that point forward, if you mess up, that somehow they're going to judge you, they're going to condemn you, they're going to throw rocks at you, they're going to put you down. But you have to understand that we've got to create an environment that gives people the freedom to fail while trying to get it right. And if you fall down trying to get it right, get up, dust yourself off, and keep moving forward. There is a process to get from where you were to where you want to be. Sometimes we give our life to the Lord and we hear great teaching, like who we are in Christ. Positionally, we're in a place of perfection. What can operate in Jesus has every legal right to operate in us. What has no permission to operate in Jesus has no legal right to operate in us. We discover truths that are freeing and liberating, like we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We discover our position, but then we go outside the doors of the church and we struggle with our humanity and our condition. And there seems to be a contradiction at times between our position and our condition. And it's confusing to some people because they don't understand the process of transformation. All they know is, positionally, I'm supposed to be in a place of perfection, but I find myself struggling with my humanity, and my humanity does not match my position. So therefore, many people end up becoming discouraged because of their condition, because they don't understand the process of transformation. The whole key to changing your condition to match your position is in the renewing of your mind. You've got to change the way you think, because your thoughts affect how you feel. Your feelings, if they get strong enough, they affect the choices that you make and the behavior that you have. Here's the problem, y'all. Some people, they get saved and they don't ever apply themselves to renewing their mind. So therefore, they get stuck in the process. They ain't in Jericho anymore. They're not there anymore. They've come out of the cursed place, the bad place, and they've decreed and declared, I'm going to a better place, but now they find themselves struggling with some of the same things that they struggled with when they were in Jericho, as if somehow their past has crept back up on them, and they don't understand, why am I struggling with this? Your thoughts affect your feelings. Every feeling is connected to a thought. Sometimes you can ask people, man, why'd you do that? I just felt it, man. I had to do that. A feeling gets strong enough and lasts long enough, it'll affect your choices. Your choices create your future. Some people are recreating their past and their present. They've come out of the bad place, but they've not understood the process of transformation. And because they've not applied themselves to the process of transformation, now the things that they had in Jericho are showing back up in their present, and it's causing them to get into a place of where they're stuck, and it's robbing them of their destination. The Bible says, blind Bartimaeus, he sat by the road begging. The Greek word for sat comes, it's an unusual word. It's not translated into sat or sit, but a couple of times in the New Testament. It's translated one other time in another place in the gospel where Jesus said, men sat in darkness. It has more to do with their spiritual condition than it did their physical condition. I believe blind Bartimaeus, his physical position reflects his spiritual condition. He sat there. When you sit somewhere, that's an indication that you plan on spending some time there. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, the Bible says that they dwelt in tents when they were traveling through the wilderness. There's a reason God didn't give them permanent shelter in the wilderness. God said, when you step over into the promised land, then you'll inherit houses you did not build. You will inherit permanent places of dwelling. The reason they had tents in the wilderness was because God never wanted them to make the wilderness a permanent destination, a permanent location. Too many people are trying to dwell permanently in a place God's just designed to be temporary. And so blind Bartimaeus, he is sitting in a place that he should have been just passing through and not staying. Some of you, you've got to understand that when trouble shows up or opposition shows up or something is trying to resist you or push you back, trying to hold you back from your destination, you can't allow that to discourage you and overwhelm you and cause you to stop and sit down on the plan of God. He sat there. The Bible says he sat there and he was blind. I think the blindness has more to do with his spiritual condition than it did with his natural condition, because he had lost the ability to dream and to hope and to see where God wanted to take him. And so therefore, he was just allowing his present condition to be his permanent place of where he would live. Some of you are tolerating things that God never intended for you to tolerate. Some of you are putting up with things that God never intended for you to just have to deal with and to live with. And blind Bartimaeus was there, and the Bible says that this crowd of people came out of Jericho. They came out of this bad place, headed to a wonderful place. They came out. It's got to be frustrating to have come out of a bad place and get stuck in the process of going to where you know God wants to take you. And to all of a sudden have people come out of the same place you came out of, but now they're passing you up. You're like, I came out of there before you came out of there, but now you're passing me up. And the Bible says he heard them talking about Jesus. You got to be careful who you let speak into your life, because who you allow to speak into your life can have a huge impact on where you go in life. You can't just let anybody speak into your life. I love what one of the other gospels, how he describes the same story, because one of the other gospel writers describes the story as two blind men sitting there. How in the world did two blind dudes find each other? But I've discovered in helping people that sometimes people who have places of dysfunction on the inside of them can step into a crowd of other people, and it's like they got this internal radar system. They can find each other. They just like hone in on each other. And the next thing you know, they're attracted to each other and they're enabling each other to stay dysfunctional. They're helping each other justify their condition. And if you have people in your life that are part of your posse, that are part of your crew, that are part of the people you run with, if you have people in your life that are helping you justify your dysfunction, therefore keeping you stuck in your condition, you need to say, it's been nice to know you. I ain't got nothing against you. I love you. But adios, amigos. I wouldn't want to be you. I'm getting up and leaving here. You're welcome to go, but I ain't staying like this any longer. And blind Bartimaeus heard. He heard the right things. It's important that you feed yourself the right things when you find yourself coming up against something that is robbing you of your future. I'm really a very peaceful guy. I don't fight about a lot. There's really not a whole lot of things I'll fight about. Really, it boils down to there's only two things I'll probably fight about. The only things I fight about are the things that threaten my future and threaten my family. Other than that, if it don't matter tomorrow, I ain't gonna fight you over it today. If I ain't gonna be thinking about it next week, I ain't fighting about it tomorrow. In blind Bartimaeus, all of a sudden he heard. And the Bible said, faith comes by hearing. It's important that you hear the right stuff. That you're willing to fight for your future. Nobody else should care about your future more than you do. Some of you are putting way too much weight on other people to care about your future when you don't care as much about your future. That ain't fair to do to nobody, man. That ain't fair to put that pressure on nobody. Ain't nobody but Jesus should care more about your future than you do. And blind Bartimaeus heard, faith comes by hearing. He was hearing the right kind of stuff. And as a result of that, he started crying out. He started saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now that tells me something. Because he referred to Jesus by his messianic title, Son of David. That means he recognized that Jesus wasn't just some great prophet or another anointed dude, that there was something different about Jesus. He wasn't just another guy walking by who had a great story and could do cool things. He recognized this is the Messiah. This is the world changer. This is the person who has the ability to change everything about everything in my life. And it caused him to cry out. Now I've discovered that you can have just as much of God as you want. God will feed you himself according to your appetite. Blind Bartimaeus starts crying out. He starts crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And one of the things about the story that amazes me is that the people that were walking around Jesus, the religious crowd walking around Jesus, when he started crying out, it says many in that crowd came over and tried to quieten him. Oftentimes religion will try to numb you into a place of being content in your condition. Shh. Just stay there. And blind Bartimaeus did not allow the opposition from others to cause him to get discouraged and just be quiet. The resistance called him to cry louder. He starts screaming out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the fact that he said, have mercy on me, tells me something about him. Because there's a difference between grace and mercy. Oftentimes in the church world, we think grace and mercy means the same thing, just two different ways of saying it. But grace and mercy mean completely the different thing. Completely they're different things. Grace, check this out. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. You don't deserve the love of God, but God loved us anyway. You don't deserve forgiveness, but God gives it to us anyway. You don't deserve for God to love you when you're unlovable, but yet God gives it to you anyway. Jesus, looking throughout history, predetermined to love you when he knew you would live in sin, when he knew you would be in debauchery, when he knew you would live in iniquity, when he knew you would do evil. Jesus said, I'm going to get up on the cross because I see all of them in 2014, and I'm going to die for them. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to go after them and draw them to me because I love them even before they mess up. I predetermined to love them. That's God giving you what you don't deserve. That's grace, man. There's a difference between grace and mercy. Now, mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. Anybody ever found out that you can come to Christ and he'll be a refuge to you? Anybody ever found out that there are times when you can come to Jesus and you should be reaping a tsunami wave of problems and crisis and pain because of the choices and the things you've been doing, and Jesus step in between you and all of that havoc and stuff that you created and stop it from coming up on you? Anybody ever gotten the mercy of God? And so that tells me that blind Bartimaeus was humble enough to recognize that I've made some bad choices in life, and I recognize you're the only one who has the ability to step between me and the consequences of my past and give me a new future. I recognize that. And so he starts crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says, and Jesus stopped. Anytime you get Jesus to stop in your life, you better get ready, because that means everything about everything is about to change. And Jesus stops. And here's the wild thing. Jesus tells the very people that told him to be quiet to bring blind Bartimaeus to him. Sometimes you don't even realize it. Sometimes your enemies do you a bigger favor than what you really recognize. Because had your enemy not pushed against you, you would have never cried out to God the way you cried out to him. And because you got desperate enough to cry out to him more passionately, more desperate than ever before, you went to a place in him that you'd never been before. Can I get an amen? Some of you ought to give God a praise for your enemies. Your enemies did you a favor. You wouldn't be walking in a place of victory. You wouldn't be walking in a place of success. You wouldn't be in a place of overcoming had the enemy not come against you. Had he just let you stay right there and let you alone, you would have stayed stuck all your life. But because he didn't know when to let up, caused you to cry louder. And so Jesus says, bring him to me. Now here, I got to hurry. Here's what happens. The Bible says that he threw off his garment. That garment wasn't just any kind of garment. It wasn't like a robe or anything like that. That was a garment that identified him with his condition. And blind Bartimaeus, he had not received a touch from God. All he had was the word of Jesus saying, come. He couldn't see, y'all. He was blind. But all of a sudden, he took that thing and he threw it off. You may have seen pictures of people in certain third world countries like India or something like that, where people will cover up underneath a garment. They'll put a little beggar's cup out there. Sometimes you'll see a hand sticking out just begging for somebody to give me something just enough so that I can exist and stay where I'm at without completely perishing. Could it be that some of you are covering, you're using your past, you're using what you've been through, you're using all your past experiences as a cover-up to justify why you are the way you are and you're not where you should be? Don't you know where I came from? Don't you know the family I grew up in? Don't you know the abuse I experienced? Don't you know the choices that I made? I can't get a break. Nobody's for me. Nobody's going to help me. Could it be that you're using some of that stuff as a cover-up? Blind Bartimaeus said, I'm going to throw this thing off. What he was saying was, I'm going to throw everything that identifies me with my condition. I'm going to throw it off. Even though I have not yet been changed, I'm going to throw that thing off. And even though I can't see where I'm going, I may still struggle with my condition. But at least I'm going to be breaking from my past and I'm going to be moving in the direction of my solution. He threw that thing off, y'all, and he starts walking to Jesus. And he gets up to Jesus. And Jesus asked him a question. Jesus says, hey man, what do you want me to do for you? Now, when I read that, I'm like, what do you mean? If I've been blind Bartimaeus, I'm like, you're asking me, what do I want? Hello? It wasn't that Jesus didn't know what he needed. It was that Jesus was wanting to see if he knew what he needed. Because he could have said, man, McDonald's has got a deal on a Happy Meal. If you'll hook a brother up, I'll go down there and be stoked out for at least dinner time. Or he could have said, anger, there ain't no shame in my game. I'm not out here trying to hustle to pay my electric bill. I'm just trying to get some money so I can go down to the liquor store and buy me another pint. He wanted to see if he knew what he needed. And blind Bartimaeus said that I might receive my sight. The Greek word right there is a word that means wholeness. Oftentimes, we find ourselves in a condition where people can't help us, but when people can't help us, that doesn't mean God can't help us. Whoever came up with the nursery rhyme about Humpty Dumpty, that joker didn't know nothing about nothing. When Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall, all the king's horses and all the king's men may not have been able to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But I got great gospel news for you. You can come to a Savior named Jesus. He can repair you and put you back together everywhere you've been broken, everywhere you've been hurt. And blind Bartimaeus said that I might receive my sight. You know what he was really saying? He was really saying, if you will just give me the ability to see, give me my dream back, give me my hope back. I left a bad place wanting to go to a great place, but I encountered something so devastating that it caused me to sit down and get stuck in a place that wasn't your best for me. Can you restore my ability to see? Give me the eyesight of faith back. And blind Bartimaeus looking at him, couldn't see a thing. Jesus said, go your way. Sometimes we make prophetic words extremely difficult, but when Jesus puts a go in your future, man, I don't care what you're struggling with. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what your history looks like. Nothing can stop you from your future. When God says go, man, everything in your future has to line up with the go. Everything has to fall into place. Blind Bartimaeus still may not have been able to see, but the Bible says when Jesus said go your way, your faith has made you whole. All of a sudden, blind Bartimaeus started putting one foot in front of the other. Sometimes, baby, you got to get up on your feet, struggling with your condition and all, and start walking this thing out. I may not be able to see straight. I may not be able to, but I ain't staying here. I'm getting up on my feet. I'm going somewhere better. And the Bible said, immediately he received his sight. All of a sudden, the dream came back. All of a sudden, the hope came back. He said, man, all I got to do is be able to see it again, dream it again. If I can see it again, if I can dream it again, I get up on my own feet. I can work this thing, baby. I can work this thing. I can get up from here. I can break up. I'm throwing this off. I'm throwing that off. I'm coming out of this thing. My life is changing. Come on, somebody. Somebody ready to break out of their past? Somebody ready to break out? Are you ready to break out? You ready to break free? Every chain's coming off. Every shackle's coming off. Everything that's held you back. Every wall of resistance. All of the pressure. It's breaking off. 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 Somebody's getting a breakthrough. Somebody's getting a breakthrough. Somebody's getting a breakthrough right now. Shout, I'm getting my breakthrough. 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 Come on. Come on. Some of you need to come out from underneath that stuff. Some of you need to right now, you got to make a decision. I'm coming out of whatever I've been hiding under. I'm coming out. I don't care who sees it. I don't care who knows about it. I don't care what they think about it. I'm coming out. You can see my dysfunction. You can see my issues. You can see what I, but I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out, and I'm going to be what God wants me to be. My past ain't going to hold me. I'm shaking that off of me. I'm coming out. You're in this room right now. You're in this room right now. You're in this room right now. And there's been things that's just been drowning out your dream, drowning out your hope. It's been extinguishing, putting out your faith. The fire, the passion to live, the passion to be, the passion to do what God has called you to do. The mountain he's called you to conquer. The one you're supposed to be climbing. But the enemy's got you living in the valley rather than passing through the valley. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I ain't living in no valley. Death may be around me, but I'm passing through it, baby. It ain't gonna hold me. It's not gonna keep me. You're here right now, and you need to break free. You need to break free. You need to break free. You're ready to break free. Jump out of your seat. Come to this altar. Come on, man. You need to break free. You need to come out. You need to be restored. You need to get through. You need to go to another place. You need to go higher. You're tired of being where you've been. You're tired of living the way you've lived. You're tired of dealing with what you've been dealing with. And you're ready to come up out of it. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I lift up every man, every lady to you in this altar right now. I break every assignment of darkness off of them in the authority of Jesus' name. I break it, I break it, I break it, I break it, I break it in the name of Jesus. I loose you right now. I loose you right now from the dysfunction and the lies of the enemy. I break that off of you. The devil is a liar. I break that off of you in the name of Jesus. I break that off of your life. I loose you right now. The pain and the hurt of the enemy is coming out of you, off of you in the name of Jesus. In the days and weeks to come, there's going to be an overabundance of joy that invades your life. Get ready, because God's about to change everything about everything concerning your life. The blessing of the Lord's coming on you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I lift up every person in this altar right now. Lord, I pray that your power would touch them. In the name of Jesus, every assignment of darkness, I break it off of your life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Somebody shout, give me my sight. Come on, shout it. Say, give me my sight. Give me my sight. Give me my vision. Give me my dream. Give me my hope. Father, right now I lift up every man and every lady, and I thank you, God, for the impartation of power that will resurrect them, put them back up on their feet, and get them to their destination. I speak go over your future, and I command everything that would resist the go of God in your life to bow its knee, to get out of your way in the authority of Jesus' name. If you receive that, give God some praise. Come on. Give God some praise. Woo.
Let's give the Lord a big shout this morning. God has done great things. Great things, great things, great things. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Pastor Jay. That was a powerful word. Prophetically, things are being broken off of your lives right now. You're not leaving this building the same way that you came in today. Today, things change in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could just take your seats for a moment. We're going to prepare our love offerings for Pastor Jay. We're going to receive an offering for him. We want to bless the man of God. We want to bless the anointing that he walks under. There's a liberating anointing as he declares the word of the Lord.